Let us pray. Stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people, that bringing forth in abundance the fruit of good works, they may be abundantly rewarded when our Savior, Jesus Christ, comes to restore all things, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And all God's people said,
Amen.
There's an old parable from India about a water bearer who had two huge pots that he would carry on either end of a pole that slung across his shoulders. And one of the pots had a crack in it. So every day, as he carried the water up to his master's house, he arrived with one full pot and the other pot half empty. This went on for a couple of years. The pot, without the crack, was very proud of its accomplishments. The cracked pot, however, was embarrassed at its failure. And in its distress, it spoke to the water bearer. "I am so ashamed," the pot said. "Why?" asked the water bearer. "Because water leaks out all the way to your master's house, and because of my crack, I've been only able to deliver half my load." The water bearer looked kindly at the cracked pot and said, "As we return to my master's house today, I want you to look at the beautiful flowers along the path." A little cheered up, the pot saw the beauty along the way. "Did you notice that the flowers were only on your side of the path?" the water bearer asked. "I've always known about your crack, and I took use of it. I planted seeds on your side of the track, and as we walked back each day from the stream, you watered them. For 2 years, I have been able to pick fresh, beautiful flowers for my master's table. Without you being just the way you are, this beauty would not have graced his house." Today, my friends, we come to the end of our stewardship series on time. We started out several weeks ago with Jesus as the Lord of time, as a man for all seasons. We discern through the wisdom of the preacher king of Ecclesiastes that Jesus is the joy of our desiring. That life under the sun is about delighting in Jesus and not a brief moment of pleasure that the world repeatedly offers us. And we have witnessed that Jesus is the one redeeming our days of toil, and that by our union with him, we get to participate in the great work, the mission of God itself. But now we reach our journey's end, and here we discover that Jesus makes all things beautiful in their time. Here we are reminded that we are fragile jars of clay, now on this earth, where the glory of God shines through the cracks. And oftentimes we don't see how beautiful we really are, nor do we stop and see the beauty in our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we may be embarrassed like the pot in the opening story, thinking we are a useless misfit. But God indeed is glorified through us, in you and me, even when our lives are a complete and utter mess. God is glorified. The eternal and unchangeable God lives and works through you and me. And that is a comforting and an encouraging thought indeed. Even when our lives seem like they are falling apart, there is a glory and a beauty shining through until one day that glory will completely change us. For we are being changed from glory to glory. There is a time coming to us when we will fully see the truth of the preacher king, that the Lord Jesus does indeed make all things beautiful in their time. Our time is already, and that the glory is already shining through the cracks, even now, because we are in Christ and Christ is in us. But it is also not yet, for one day we will be raised to glorified, incorruptible bodies, and we will dwell forever in a new creation of beauty.
Amen.
This morning, let us see that the time of our lives is not meaningless, yet let us hope as ones reborn through faith for our time to come at the resurrection, for eternity has indeed been planted in our hearts. The seed is in us, the fragile clay pots, And he who began a good work in you and me will see it through to the end, to its completion, because Jesus Christ makes all things beautiful in their time. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 9. Now, throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, the preacher king uses the word vanity 38 times. The book is not terribly long, so the repetition of the word is striking. For vanity in the Hebrew is hevel, which is the name Abel. We all remember that Abel was murdered by his brother Cain in Genesis 4. So the preacher king throughout the book is saying our lives under the sun are as meaningless as Abel's life. Life is not long, and it's hard, and it's pointless, has been the recurring wisdom of the sage. But even after Abel's death, his life continued to speak. In Genesis 4:10, the blood of Abel cries out from the very ground. That is, though his life was short, it continues to talk. And the word spoken was vanity. Life is meaningless. But as we know, Jesus makes all things beautiful in their time. And thankfully, the author of Hebrews, most likely Barnabas, gives a solution and an answer to the cry of Abel's blood. If Abel's blood cries out, life is vanity, then the greater blood of Jesus cries out, life is beautiful. The purpose of life and fulfillment in life can only be found in Christ alone. Jesus is the answer. He makes all things new, and he makes all things beautiful. But what does the word beautiful really mean in our passage this morning? Well, in the Old Testament, it first meant something that can be seen and feasted upon with the eyes. But that's not all. Beauty also meant what is right, what is fitting, what is pleasing, and what is good. And so the preacher king says that God has planted eternity in our hearts, but that human beings cannot see the whole scope of what God is doing from beginning to end. And that's because the key, or the clue to history, as Leslie Newbegin put it, is Jesus himself. If Jesus is Lord of time, if he is a man for all seasons, then nothing makes sense apart from him. History is indeed his story. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians that God's mysterious plan is and has always been Jesus. You see, Jesus' blood speaks a better word than Abel's. Abel's blood cries vanity. Jesus' blood cries beauty. And this word is the final word. But of course, the preacher king of Ecclesiastes cannot see what we can regarding the Lord Yeshua. He concludes that life under the sun is repetitious. To quote the popular phrase from Battlestar Galactica, all of this has happened before, and it will happen again. So it's better to seize the day, to enjoy life while you can. You see, he cannot see the scope of God's mysterious plan. He cannot see the unfolding drama of Scripture, which is salvation, history, and time. He's missing the key and the clue, which is Jesus. And my brothers and sisters, there are many outside the church and quite a few within the church that have the same outlook as the preacher king. Without Jesus, life is vanity. Without Jesus, the blood of Abel cries out and we despair. But with Jesus, life is beautiful because Jesus is beauty. And he makes all things beautiful in their time. Our time now, under the sun, is beautiful because the glory of Jesus is shining through the cracks in our lives, through the cracks in fragile jars of clay. That is Jesus being fully formed in us so that we can grow up big and tall, so that we can truly become fully human. For as Irenaeus put it, the glory of God is man fully alive? Say that with me. The glory of God is man fully alive. Man alive! My brothers and sisters, everlasting life is already in us because of our union with Jesus. The glory is already shining through the cracks. This is our time right now. This is the time given to us here and now. To live boldly for Jesus and to do whatever we are called to do for the glory of God. But remember, this life is just kindergarten for what is really coming. There is a time not yet when we will be more like Jesus, for Jesus was raised to life in a resurrected body. And one day, these fragile jars of clay will expire, they will decompose, yet we too will be raised like him and given the new body that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians. Behold then Jesus, the Messiah, he makes all things beautiful in their time. For you and I follow what we are tied and united to, and we are united to King Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Two hunters were out hunting and came upon what looked like an abandoned farm. The barn was sagging, the house was in disrepair, and junk cars and car parts littered the entire place. And as they entered the yard, they came across an old well. One asked the other, "Wonder how deep it is?" The other said, "Well, we'll have to drop something in and listen for the splash." And they looked around for something to throw in, but the only thing close by was an old transmission. They hauled it over and they dropped it in. And they counted and they waited a long time for the splash. It was a deep one, all right. As they turned to leave, they saw a goat come charging at them, head down, horns headed straight at them. At the last moment, they jumped aside with the goat going right past them into the well. They looked bewildered. But as they started to leave, the owner of the farm came out. And after talking for a moment, they asked permission to hunt on his land. And the farmer said, "Have you seen my goats?" And they replied, "Yes, he almost killed us. You should have tied him to something." And the farmer replied,
"Oh no.
I thought I did. To the old transmission." My friends, you and I are tied to something even greater, even more wondrous. We are tied to the Lord Jesus, who is life and Lord of time. The preacher King says, "And I know that whatever God does is final." In Ezekiel, the glory of God slowly departs from the temple and the temple mount, and it goes eastward. And the next time in Scripture that we hear and we see about the glory of God is at the birth of Jesus, where the angels sing Gloria, Gloria. The glory of God is man fully alive. Jesus is true man and the final word himself. The final word is beautiful, not vanity. Of course, since Jesus lived his whole life in the shadow of the cross, since Isaiah calls him a man of sorrows, if there was no resurrection at all, we could look at the crucifixion and agree with the cry of Abel. Vanity, all vanity. But the final word is not death. It is Jesus, the beautiful one. He has come to rescue us. He has come to make us new and to make us beautiful. For as C.S. Lewis paraphrases Athanasius, "The Son of God became a man that we might become sons of God." Say that with me. The Son of God became a man that we might become sons of God. Wow. Wow. Man alive, man fully alive, is not just that the glory of God shines through the cracks in our earthly lives right now, but also man fully alive means that because Jesus is the final word, not death, we too will be raised up in glory like him. For we believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen?
Amen.
The preacher King says nothing can be added or taken away from God's work. The work of the cross is final. It cannot be added to. It cannot be subtracted from. And Jesus is the first fruits of the dead. Because he has triumphed over death and hell, we too, by our union with him, shall be raised up on the last day. In other words, you cannot hold new creation back. It is already broken in, and it is fully coming to us like a goat. So beauty, not vanity, is the final word. It is spoken by Jesus, the one who makes all things beautiful in their time. But some of you may be thinking, my life certainly doesn't look beautiful, Scott. You may be thinking, I struggle with anxiety and depression. My marriage is barely holding on. My kids have some pretty serious issues. I've got problems at work. I've got problems at home. My public, personal, and private life are a complete disaster. Yes, my friends. Yes. We've all got cracks in our lives. Cracks in these fragile jars of clay. But let me give you an illustration of what the Lord does with each of us that is not only helpful, but gives a great amount of hope. If we consider the traditional Japanese process called kintsugi, fractured and chipped vessels of pottery can not only be mended, but the cracks and the crevices can be filled in with gold. Precious gold. And in the end, the jars of clay are even more beautiful because the glory shines through the cracks. You see, the Master's hand fills in the fractures and the chips and the crevices of our lives. And why? Because the Lord Yeshua makes all things beautiful in their time. Even our time under the sun. You know, the catchphrase, under the sun, stresses life here on earth. But as we have seen, Jesus is Lord of time itself. And we are called to live our days and seasons in this life and beyond to the world to come under the sun. S-O-N. If we live our lives with the mentality of eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, we embrace the cry of Abel, vanity, all vanity, this is all there is. But if we live our lives with the mentality that Jesus Christ is beautiful and he makes all things beautiful in their time, if we believe the author of Hebrews that Jesus actually does speak a better word, then we will live for eternity even now in this world. If you can remember back several weeks ago, I said that human beings usually live on average 70 years, 80 if we are blessed. But if the average is 70 years, then the first 10 years of our lives are the first day, the next 10 are the second day, and so on. As Christians, as those who have union with Jesus, the one who makes all things beautiful in their time, we look forward to the eighth day. The eighth day. The eighth day is what the early church understood to be the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. A whole new creation. And Gregory of Nyssa elaborated on this a lot, if you want to go look it up. But the eighth day stresses the importance that our lives are under the unique sun of the living God, that they are forever bound to him, the first fruits of the dead. And even in his resurrection body, the wounds and the scars of Jesus were glorified. Simply put, what the Romans meant to be ugly and barbaric and gruesome in the end became beautiful and glorious. And so it shall be with you and I and the wounds and the scars that we endure and that we bear in this life. Jesus makes all things new. He makes all things beautiful. So my friends, as you come to the table of our Lord, remember the glory in the cracks. Remember that you and I participate in the one who speaks the better word, beautiful. And remember as you come and partake of the body and the blood, that your life now and on the eighth day is under the sun. Jesus Christ, the one who makes all things beautiful in their time. Let us pray. Hasten, O Father, the coming of your kingdom. And grant that we, your servants who now live by faith, may with joy behold your Son at his coming in glorious majesty, even Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate. Amen.